Hello, I'm Rafik, and you're watching the Garbled Twistery channel.
It's crunch time.
What's up, y'all? It's Garbled Twistery, and if you've just arrived at the party, we're looking at 1796 presidential candidates, and today we're at our second to last man, candidate number 10 across the land. He's known as the man who can't stop cooking mac and cheese, Tommy Jefferson. But first, let's talk about his dad. Peter Jefferson was a nerd who liked daffodils and owned people in the literal sense and liked staring at pieces of land to see if they were valuable or whatever. His family's probably from Wales, but nobody really knows that for sure. Maybe his ancestors invaded England because the name Jefferson implies that somehow. Nobody knows really, though. Anyways, Daddy Jefferson's friend dies. So it's up to him to take care of all the slaves that Randolph left behind, and he has to move to freaking Tuckahoe, Virginia to do it. But yeah, the fam lived there for a couple years, then moved back to Ambermere or wherever that name of that town is. Then, when Daddy Jefferson died, Tommy Jefferson inherited his slaves. Okay, as you can tell, we've shifted into Tommy, okay? And when Tommy was 22, his big sis, Mary Jane, died. This made him, like, super sad and stuff, because all his other big sisters were all married and living far away with their hubbies or whatever, and every sibling in the house was super younger than him and couldn't hold a decent conversation about trigonometry. Sad. So how was school for the mac and cheese man? Well, he went to some public school where a Scottish priest was running things, and Tommy was a freaking nerd, okay? At 9 years old, he was learning Latin and Greek and French and how to talk to birds and how to ride a horse like a Mongolian. And then, when he was 16, he went to William and Mary College and he graduated in freaking 2 years with honors. What a nerdazoid, studying Aristotle and math and the nature of existence itself and playing the violin and Francis Bacon and studying 15 hours a day because he has no life and is a nerd. He was such a freaking nerd that the tea-sipping governor let him play his violin and take tiny sips of wine at these absolutely exquisite parties. Even after having done all that, he still became a freaking lawyer like everybody else we've been talking about. But anyways, what did Tommy do with his free time? Well, this nerd was tearing through books faster than Anna Green Gables. This guy was reading, man. So after becoming a hotshot lawyer, Mr. Mac and Cheese found a lovely lady named Martha and married her. Everybody thought she was gorgeous and popular and stuff. She was also a freaking book nerd who could play piano. Yeah, they had like 6 kids. 2 survived. You know how it goes. And when Martha's dad died, they took his 130-some-odd slaves and his 11,000 acres and his unpaid debt, too. Took forever to freaking pay that nonsense off. Oh, and included in the slaves were a bunch of kids Martha's dad had with a slave named Betty. So they ended up getting all the cool slave jobs, like being chefs or whatever, because that's how race works, I guess. I don't know. Anyways, Martha got diabetes and, like, died after the last baby happened, and this triggered Tommy's women abandoning him issues, so he locked himself in his room for, like, 3 weeks reading Sylvia Plath, and went on long, brooding, emotional road trips and never married again, because that's what he promised Martha before she died. Jeezy Louise, true love sounds terrible. On top of that, Tommy's oldest daughter married an alcoholic who would punch her for no reason, so she had to move in with Tommy, adding to his financial burdens. There's just a lot of crazy going on in the home front, okay? However, despite all this crazy paying for crazy stuff, Tommy still figured out a way to build some crazy freaking plantation house that was supposed to support like 5,000 acres or some craziness like that. Oh, and because he read so many freaking books in his free time, he literally created a new style of architecture when he did it. With octagons and sand and Chinese railings and red bricks. It's crazy, I tell ya! Never underestimate the power of the nerd! Like, he read books about how the Greek people figured out how to use air conditioning without air, and he built that into his Monticello nonsense! Absolutely bonkers, I tell ya. What a nerd. But yeah, he was a super good lawyer. Like, he was out there lawyering for famous Virginia people. He was also repping his country in the House of Burger King when it was created. And when those tea sippers started being all intolerable about the tax situation, Tommy got really radical with his rebuttal. Like, everybody else who was complaining about it was talking about the legal consequences. I mean, everybody except probably Sammy Adams. But Tommy published a thingy that was talking about natural rights. Let us govern ourselves. You have no power here. It was so freaking radical, dude. Speaking of radical, I think it's time to talk about the most radical freaking document to come out of this freaking revolution. You see, England was wildin', and everybody wanted to really find a way to declare independence, and as you may or may not know from my Declaration of Independence episode from way back, they drew straws and Tommy ended up being the one having to write it. But his bestie, Johnny Adams, was all like, quote, "Listen, hon, I got you. There'll be five guys on the job. I got your back," unquote. I mean, Tommy still ended up having to write the first draft mostly by himself because he was the nerdiest, so he'd do it right. But I mean, Congress ended up cutting like a fourth of it and super cutting a huge part about England imposing slavery. This is probably because Congress wanted people in England to like turn on England as well as not step on the toes of South Carolina and Georgia, who really liked having slaves. Really liked it. The cuts made Tommy mad. I mean, who wouldn't be? He worked some 24-hour shifts on that nonsense. But, I mean, he put some good stuff in there, like all men are created equal and the unalienable right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Dang, yo, like, that's some pretty good stuff. So, after the states finally cut ties with the tea sippers, Tommy was all like, quote, "Virginia is wrong. I'm gonna fix wrong Virginia," unquote. So he went home and everybody elected him to the Virginia House of Delectables or whatever. And he was doing this while the revolution was still happening. He wanted to stop this whole oldest son inheriting property nonsense. Too British. He also wanted to make sure religion was super free and stuff too. And he really, really cared about making sure everybody knows how to read a book. I mean, some of this stuff would take a while to catch on because, you know, that's how government works. Slowly. Other things he was tired of. He was tired of people bringing their slaves to Virginia and trading them. And interestingly, so was Virginia, since it was the first state to, like, stop doing that. He also thought it was a good idea to free the slaves, but he thought it was, like, too soon. Yeah. He wrote like 126 thingies that helped do stuff to make sure the judges in court were all squared away and church and state wasn't meshing or whatever. He tried to stop capital punishment for petty stuff, but nobody bought it. And yeah, he was a busy, busy man. And he even got busier when he became the governor of Virginia, switching the capital from William's house to Richmond, and the war was still going on, so he tried to move all the war supplies. But Eggs, Benedict, Arnold, Cumberpatch freaking flipped sides, so he tried to steal the stuff, so Tommy had to literally evacuate everybody and hang out in his old house in Monticello. They had to lickety-split so fast that Tommy literally had to leave his slaves behind and they all got captured as prisoners of war. Eggs Benedict was out here leading British ships and raiding like a pirate up and down the river and drinking tea with General Cornball. It was crazy! And then Cornball sent 250 freaking horseback riders to go capture Tommy, but Tommy found out and had to escape into the woods! I mean, luckily they had the decency to not trash his plantation house. So yeah, nobody was gonna let Tommy Jefferson be governor again because he let all that nonsense go down. You may have written the Declaration of Independence, but you couldn't save Virginia from Eggs Benedict Cumberpatch. Anyways, I have an interesting governor story for ya. So Tommy's in his office, doing governor stuff, And one of his French friends comes in and is all like, quote, "What is Virginia? I don't even know what it is. Is it edible?" Unquote. So Tommy Jefferson, nerd that he is, wrote the most important vacation brochure about Virginia ever written before 1800. No, really, he was going all in on these rants about freedom of speech and separation of church and state and slavery being demoralizing for everyone involved and the Navy. Craziness. People are still studying that vacation brochure to this day. I mean, he also thought black people and white people couldn't freely live together, but hey, look where we are now, still working it out! So this crazy revolution finally freaking ends, and the Continental Con becomes an official thingy. Tommy was obviously in it. I mean, he wrote the Declaration of Freaking Independence. He better be in the committee. He had good ideas. He had lots of good ideas while he was there, like money being decibels. Good idea. He was also like, hey, we should ban slavery everywhere. And that almost actually happened. There was literally like a single vote difference. But he did help ban slavery in new territories as like a compromise or whatever. But he didn't care enough to do anything for the people who were already slaves. I mean, who's gonna paint the walls for free, right? Then he quit and was like, quote, Congress is boring, send me to France. So he became the Minister of France, and this was when he discovered how to make mac and cheese and got obsessed with it. Oh, and also, he was there when France exploded into a gory, grotesque bloodbath. Yeah. He tag-teamed with Johnny Adams to write a treaty with a bunch of wily pirates from Morocco who were doing too much. And he didn't get to go to Constitution Con because, like, France was busy losing its mind. But still, while he was there, he was eating with famous people and sightseeing. It was a real vacation for him. I mean, probably because he was hanging out with the revolutionary French peeps and not the bourgeoisie. He loved France. He brought his kids over to France, brought some slaves over to help him learn how to cook snails. His youngest daughter died of whooping cough and he fell in love with a married woman for 6 weeks. Good times. He also got one of his slaves pregnant, so he freed her, and she became his concubine after he promised to free her kids. What? Yeah, Tommy Jefferson's personal life was pretty freaking wild, okay? Okay. So, 1789 comes around, and Jorge's the president, and word gets out that Tommy Jefferson is back from his National Lampoon's French vacation, and Jorge writes him a letter that's all like, quote,
bro, if you don't become the Secretary of State right now, we're gonna have some problems, unquote.
And Tommy's like, sure, whatever. But it would be far from easy. Tommy was the guy who was always, always, always getting into shouting matches with the money man, Alexander Hammy, Tammy. Always. They were like oil and water, fighting to the point where they created their own political parties. We know this. Much like Alexander Hammy, Tammy was the head honcho of the Federalists, Tommy Jefferson was basically the boss man of the Democratic Republicans. Yeah, the shenanigans were real. Jorge almost straight up fired our guy Tommy because of all the petty nonsense he was up to. Like, it got so crazy that Jorge never spoke to him again after all was said and done. As for his job, he had three goals as the Secretary of State. He wanted to get the tea sippers to actually say, out of their mouths, that they were violating the Treaty of Paris. Wow, like that's gonna happen. Two, he wanted them to leave already, hanging around the Mississippi like a bunch of freeloaders. Three, he wanted to pay back the slave owners whose slaves went and got captured and freed by the tea sippers. Lol, like Alexander Hammy Tammy's gonna let that happen. Yeah. None of this was working out for Tommy fast enough. And he also, like, ruined his relationship with Jorge at this point. So he just straight up resigned in 1793. But I mean, even after that, the true bloodbath was starting up in France, and he was still out there supporting the revolutionaries. But I think this 1796 election is coming up, so we gotta stop here. But hey, I got one last thing to clear up. Remember all that talk about slavery? Yeah? Tommy's relationship with slavery is super weird and complicated, because he knew it was terrible, but he still liked to actively use it to his benefit, but he didn't want it to happen anymore. But he also didn't want slaves to be freed, but he also did, and he also didn't, and it was weird. and it's gonna get even weirder later. So yeah, if you've got something to say about this episode, about the podcast, or about, I don't know, why you need to buy yet another roll of paper towels, you can find Garble Twistery on Facebook and Twitter, or you can head to garbletwistery.net and send a message in the contact section, or you can email moi. My email is Rafiq, that's R-A-F-I-Q, at garbletwistery.net. Next time, it's the final candidate for 1796. We've chattered about him before, and we're going to talk about his vice presidency stuff. Next time, it's Johnny Adams. Get hype.
This is the ending. I'm ending it now.
What is Virginia? I don't even know what it is. Is it edible?